Support for the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze comes from Big Y, world-class market serving New England families since 1936, with more than 30 locations throughout Connecticut. Big Y is proud to support WNPR. If you like to eat, drink, and be merry, you're in the right place. Faith here with a welcome toast. It was Frank Zappa who said, "You can't be a real country unless you have a beer and an airline. It helps if you have some kind of a football team or some nuclear weapons, but at the very least, you need a beer." Please feel free to consume this show podcast in small bites or eat the whole thing. It's great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, the place to have a good time. What a show we have for you.
Delicious
fish recipes from the people who know it best, New England Fish Market staffers. Fun food facts. Easy summer pudding becomes creme brulee with Chris's $15 Home Depot blowtorch. You can do this. We're going to do it right on the show for you. Amazingly easy. We have a chill lime beer party idea, and do these disappear? Sylvia Ryan's three-ingredient gluten-free banana pancakes, a child can make them. The Fish Market book, I can't wait to talk about that. My beloved food buddies are here, starting with the wildly talented senior producer who's been brilliant while I was away, Robin Doyen Aiken, and I'm with senior contributors Chris Brosberry, Alex Province, and Mark Raymond.
Hey! So good to have you back.
Oh,
we missed you dearly.
I missed you. Oh. I really did. I missed you all so much.
It's just not the same.
Well, let me explain what this is. Some of our Food Schmooze shows have been pre-taped, and these folks right here have stepped up to the plate for us, for all of us, because for the past 10 weeks, I have been mostly in bed recovering from a nasty concussion, a sprained neck, a hurt back. I was on my way to, as these folks know, I was on my way to a reporting trip in Miami and headed to New York City, and on the Marriott, the driver of my car, we were stopped in a line of traffic, as it is on the Marriott, right around Sikorsky. Yeah. And sure enough, somebody, I don't know what the situation was, just did not see 50 car taillights and just full speed rammed into us. So I was taken by the ambulance to Bridgeport Hospital, and this amazing thing happened because when the crash occurred, a helicopter medic, evacuation medic, was jogging along the side of the Marriott right around Sikorsky. She was at Sikorsky for training. Yeah. She races over, opens my door, and says, "Are you okay? I'm going to stay with..." No, I couldn't get... She said, "I'm going to stay with you until the ambulance comes." Oh, and she was the perfect. Nicest person.
Like an angel.
Does anybody know concussions? Chris knows. Chris has had a doozy, but... Whiplash is, you know, like traumatic whiplash is so unbelievable because, and the neurologist explained, the brain can't see it coming. Even if it's a fraction of a second, it usually does things to prepare. And if it can't see it and you're hit by surprise, it's even worse. Oh my goodness, nightmares. And so here's my thing now that I'm back. And trying so hard. here's my thing. I'm going to promise that I am going to volunteer to work with soldiers returning because they have PTSD, as I have had. Traumatic brain injury. It's really a bear of a thing. So I really want to work with them because people really don't know very much about concussion. So it would be great. So I have missed you online. I have missed you folks, Robin, Chris, Alex, Mark, Anthony, who's not here today, so, so much. And you know what? My colleagues and the managers here at WNPR have been so incredible. And just all of your support. You folks doing the show, fantastic. There you go. And so, you're probably... Me too.
Home.
I know. It's so...
And
I,
you
I
look fabulous.
You. I miss you so much. Oh, thank you. So you're wondering, what does this have to do with chocolate?
Did you find something out while you were
out? Yes, I did. Okay, so there's a study. You know, don't you just love these studies? The minute I see one, I burst out laughing. So there is a study. And if you frequently eat milk or dark chocolate, I happen to think dark is better for your health. But if you eat milk or dark chocolate a lot, there is research which shows that these frequent chocolate eaters score higher on memory tests and organization tests and reasoning compared to a control group of people who do not eat chocolate.
I'm really disorganized, so maybe I just need more chocolate.
That's what you need with
I'm going to try it. I'm going to eat chocolate for a week and
see if it helps. I have a square at breakfast, every breakfast.
And you're very organized. Maybe that is it.
I used to be organized. Okay. Can we do summer party ideas?
I'm ready to think
about, you know, those paper lanterns and lights and things like that. Yeah. I think that's really fun. I put twinkling lights everywhere.
On a string. I love that going up a tree.
Do you do that?
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love it.
Okay. So here's an idea I talked to you about, and this is from, we do our food cruise, and by that I mean we go online, we go through every food publication we can find, and we want to give our very talented colleagues credit every time for coming up with things. This time, hats off to the Food Network magazine, because it was their idea to do, you know, the Mexican beer that has lime in it.
So
you could do Corona with a slice of lime.
Right, yeah.
Their idea is to serve mugs of beer and then you put a lime popsicle half.
Oh.
Stick it in the beer as you serve it.
Wow.
Excellent idea.
Isn't that,
excellent?
Is there tequila in the popsicle?
Could be.
Wow.
I
love that idea, and it keeps your beer cold.
Yeah.
So what do you
better?
Do you eat the popsicle or do you drink the beer?
Well, every once in a while, you got to take a nibble of the popsicle. You got
it. You do both. You have to pull it out.
Yeah.
Is that the best?
I love it.
I just am crazy about it as an idea.
I can see lime popsicles selling everywhere all of a sudden.
You know, we're going to get to creme brulee in just a second. Well, we were in the back room because Chris was using his Home Depot blowtorch on these creme brulee dishes. It was just amazing. It's so easy. It's ridiculous. We're going to get to it. But Alex took out his iPhone and we were doing a video of it.
Yes.
So we're going to have
Put that on Facebook, right?
Yep. Yeah. So there's that. But we were taking pictures with our phones.
I think I burnt all the hairs off my hand holding the camera
a little close.
You got to be careful.
But here's Food Network again. I saw this mention in one of their magazines. They said that they noticed from surveys that people who took pictures of dishes that they enjoyed before they ate them loved the dish more.
Huh. Really? It happens all the time now. I see people when I'm out to dinner. I see people in my restaurant. Everyone whips out their cameras when the food gets put
down. Matt will kick me under the table.
For doing that?
Yeah.
Really?
My kid does it to post on Yelp, especially if she a dish looks beautiful.
Yeah.
She reviews everything. So.
And he likes to eat his food really hot, so I'll spend 5 minutes
getting the right light.
Bring in the extra lights. Get up, I adjust the lighting in the kitchen, and finally he's like, I'm eating. I'm done.
How about?
Wait a minute. We need to replate this.
How about all of us, when we go out to eat together, there's a lot of shifting of things on the table. The flowers get moved. The candle that the wait server has put on there. Everything.
Clear and make room.
Faith, we were out to lunch with the whole family. And, you know, my son Daniel always asks to grab the phone. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, he's going to play a video game again. And lo and behold, he actually took a slow motion video of the waitress pouring the rosé into the glass. And there was a biker driving behind on a summer day. And we ended up posting this video on our website for Wildman because it was absolutely amazing. I'll definitely put that up.
You guys have to see it on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Can we put it up?
Absolutely. It's amazing.
Slow motion.
And I'm thinking to myself, why didn't I think of that?
Well, first, let's admit, you don't even know how to get it like me.
I didn't even know I had slow motion on my iPhone.
Like, what?
So, you know that Apple has this thing going where they run people's videos.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think you should send it in to them and
say,
how old is he?
Oh, he's 11. He's going to be 12, yeah.
Oh, my. You have to.
I absolutely do. It's such a great video. Boats in the background.
Nice.
Biker going
by. Couldn't plan it, right?
I mean, I couldn't have planned it any better. Yeah.
Is he happy with it?
He was, and you know, he doesn't expect to take any kind of credit for it. But when I finally posted it on our website, I showed him, and you know, good. Such good quality.
It's up there.
All right.
Okay. And that's Faith Middleton Fuchsmoos on Facebook. And talk with us about anything. I can't wait to get back to you and talk with you there. You all know about Arethusa, the dairy bar in Litchfield County.
Yep. Chris. Right. And Bistro now.
Yeah. So now they've opened a shop in New Haven, right downtown on Chapel Street, which is New Haven's main street. Our studio is in New Haven. So we're so excited because they do great stuff. They have all kinds of flavors. They care very much about quality, and there are lines already.
That's
so
awesome.
Congratulations to Arethusa Farm Dairy on Chapel Street in New Haven for being there.
They have the best chocolate milk.
Arethusa Farm Dairy.
Really?
Really? It's like you want some chocolate milk.
It's not part of my diet, but I love it.
You know what? Tonight, this show airs both, as you know, Thursdays and Saturdays. So for the Thursday crowd, tonight, we will see you at the martini competition.
Well, yeah.
Dancing shoes.
And guess what? The competitors are going to be so unbelievable. So there will be more than 30 bartenders and restaurants, and you vote on our tablets to pick the gold winner, the Fuchsmoos Martini of the Year. Tons of publicity for the winners. Gold, silver, bronze, and we have some new categories.
Awesome.
Chris, can you tell us about this summer custard? It's really creme brulee. And I just tossed out an idea to him that I've been walking around with for a long time, and sure enough, he found a way to do it.
Oh, he nailed
it. Oh, my goodness. So we're going to get to that in 1 second.
Yeah, and I shot a video of him torching it,
the creme brulee,
with all the smoke coming up and finishing it off with the salt. So.
All right, so Faith Middleton Fuchsmoos on Facebook, and you can see how easy it is to do this at home. And wait till you see how cheap it is to get the blowtorch.
Oh, come
and
he on. Shows Most you guys the have them right. in their garage.
The Yours glory. Was like fancy.
I bought a fancy one, but you can get the cheap one that was at Home Depot last night. They go all the way down to like $12.
Yeah, it's just the butane torch, right?
Yeah, and then you need a bottle of butane. That's a couple of bucks.
So we're going to actually really get into this sea salt caramel creme brulee.
So delicious.
This is what we invented, sea salt caramel creme brulee. And Chris's custard is so to die for, and we have the recipe and everything. We're going to get to that.
Chris, you killed that one. That
and
was
just,
awesome.
He did.
I think it was the best one I've ever had. Perfect.
Yeah.
The custard, I think it was.
What a great idea.
You, it's the combination of those flavors. And it's funny because I love sea salt caramel gelato.
Right.
And I never would have done this. I just never would have gone from the sea salt caramel gelato to sea salt caramel creme brulee. I don't know why. There was just a block there until you said it. And I remember sitting across from you going, huh.
Did Faith invent this?
Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, to the extent of the idea.
Yeah.
But the execution, which is everything.
I was like, huh.
So we are, I think we are collaborators.
Can you invent some more stuff for us?
Right now.
He wants an entree, an appetizer, and then that for dessert.
Okay. I'm eating at this restaurant all the time.
I know. And don't forget that we have the New England Fish Market cookbook coming your way. Mm. And I'm very excited about this because Sylvia Forges Ryan, who is one of the best home cooks I know and is a renowned haiku poet, has this recipe, 3-ingredient, gluten-free banana pancakes that disappear off the table so fast. We're going to get to that, too. Everything we have is, of course, at our website, foodschmooze.org. How do you spell schmooze? Just like school, S-C-H. And then there's the moo of the cow, and that's how we do it. Foodschmooze.org. Oh, get ready for creme brulee. How to make it at home the easy way. More mouthwatering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Fuchsmoos. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. We're online now at fuchsmoos.org, and we'll be right back.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum wheat. Back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-yay, I go my way, back in the saddle again.
Okay, hope that first bite of the Fooch Moose felt like a hot biscuit with butter coming your way. Feel free to tell your food-loving friends worldwide they can enjoy the show and our online site at foodschmooze.org. Here's your second bite.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. Beans. I'll be ready. I'll be cornbread ready tomorrow night. I'll be ready. I'll be ready cornbread tomorrow night. Beans. I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night. Beans. That's what Beans said to cornbread.
This is the Fooch Moose Party, offering the richness of life and coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County, the East End of Long Island, and the Hamptons, of course. The senior producer, the woman I bow down to, is Robin Doyen Aiken. And to hear the show on WNPR, it airs Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. Podcasts and our curated recommendations, as you probably know, are always online at foodschmooze.org. Talk with us on Facebook, too. Search Faith Middleton. Hey, everybody. We're going to talk creme brulee or summer pudding, which is really what it is. Here's how this happened. Chris and I were in a restaurant in Madison, Connecticut called Bar Boucher, and they served a pistachio creme brulee that was absolutely delicious. It's delicious. This charming little space, very good food. It was so delicious. And I said to Chris, why doesn't anyone put sea salt in creme brulee? And Chris said, you know what? Let's try it. And he, of course, did the most amazing caramel creme brulee with a sea salt crust, sea salt sugar crust. And so
it was like a light bulb went off when you said it, though, because one of my favorite desserts of all time, it's not even a dessert, is that gelato that is sea salt and caramel. And I can eat tubs of it. It's so good. And I never would have gone from that to the creme brulee. But as soon as you said it, it's like a light went off. And I was like, wow, it could just be just like that. So I made a caramel custard for the creme brulee.
And you're going to tell us how to do that. Yeah. But the recipe is posted online. The blowtorch that you need to caramelize the top is a small, teeny thing. It's like handling a flashlight. It's so easy. And it's at a Home Depot, I'm sure, among other
any
places.
Any hardware store.
For $15. Yeah. So there's no expense to this. You just put a little butane canister in it, and you're good to go. And it makes the same kind of crust you get in a restaurant. All right, Chris, the key to this is Chris's gorgeous custard. We have the recipe posted online. It's easier than I ever realized. I've never made creme brulee, and now I'm going to do it all the time.
Like I said, it's pudding. So if you made pudding, you can make this. It requires eggs, cream, sugar, and we're going to do something a little funky with the sugar to make the caramel, and a little bit of vanilla, and that's it.
And so how do those things come
together?
All
right, so you start with the pan on the stove with the sugar. And this is not a normal custard. This is how we're going to make it a caramel custard.
So dry sugar in a pan.
Dry sugar in a pan. You can put just a couple drops of water in there just to start it. That's fine. So that on medium-high heat, and you cook that basically until it gets to caramel color. So if you know what that color is, you're looking for that. So keep an eye on it, because once it starts coloring, then it goes really fast.
And guess what, folks? You just made caramel.
You just made caramel.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? All right. So now you're going to take the cream. You're going to take it off the heat, right? Just wait a minute to let it cool slightly. And then you're going to take a whisk and you're going to pour in your cream and whisk it together.
Okay.
Simple, right?
So now we have caramel cream.
Now you have caramel cream. And actually, that's caramel sauce. So if you want to pour that on your ice cream, that's caramel sauce. All right. Now you're going to take your eggs. You're going to put that in a bowl. You're going to whisk it up. And then you're going to slowly pour the hot cream and caramel over the eggs while whisking.
And these are egg yolks.
Egg yolks, right? So you separate, yes. So I should have said that. Separate the egg yolks. It's just egg yolks. And then you whisk that in there, and there's your custard base. Then I have the creme brulee dishes. It's basically a 4-ounce ramekin. And it can be flat, it can be tall, whatever you like or whatever you have. I put it in a roasting pan, and then I pour my custard into the ramekins that are in this pan. I put hot water, so it's like a water bath that comes halfway up, goes in a 300
halfway up the dishes?
Halfway up the dishes. It goes in a 325-degree preheated oven about 25 minutes or until they're just set. And it's going to almost look like they're not done, but so just at 20 minutes, 25 minutes, start looking at them, and you'll shake them a little bit. You'll see they'll start jiggling, and when that jiggling slows, it gets to the point where it's stopping, done.
So you pull the pan out, yep. You take them out, and
let it
now
cool.
You've got these little ramekins or dishes yes. of custard.
Yeah.
And it happens to be caramel custard in this yeah. case. Okay, now here comes the exciting part. How do you put that creme brulee topping on, that crackly top?
Yeah, a couple tablespoons of just regular sugar.
White.
Sprinkle it on top. I put a little extra and I sort of jiggle it, and you'll see Alex Alex took a great video. And then you sort of just shake the ramekin back and forward until it's a nice even layer. If there's a little excess, you just shake it off. Then I take my finger and I wipe the rim. So just to get off the sugar, and then you get your blowtorch.
Okay, the blowtorch Chris got at Home Depot, yeah. and it was around $15.
It's a plumber's torch.
So it's very easy to handle. Yeah. This is no big deal. We have this video posted on Facebook, so Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, and you can see how this is done.
So you blowtorch it, and I go methodically, so start in one corner and take – and you'll see this in the video. Go yep. around in a circle, right, and then into the middle, and then you get a little to – it just starts to smoke, and a little bit of black
bubbles.
Is okay. Remember, brulee is burnt, right? So just a little bit, and as soon as you get to that, I have the sea salt right on the side of it ready to go, and then it took me two tries. The first time it wasn't quite enough, so you want to put – and you'll see in the video how much and a really nice crystallized sea salt, right?
It was like the crunchy Florida cell.
Yeah, so just a very nice, it's a flaky sea salt or a coarser sea salt. And you just sprinkle that on top, and man, wait about 45 seconds for it to cool and solidify it, and then it'll be, you could ice skate across it.
That was so delicious. Your custard, that's really, your custard was so wonderful.
But it's all about, and this is takes practice, that to make a perfect custard is to pull it at the perfect time. So like I said, you want to watch it, and you'll eat. You think it's not quite set enough, that's when it's perfect.
Let me
tell
you, if you go a little too long bit thicker, don't even worry about it. It's just the most delicious flavors together. Really, really fun. Thank you so much. And the recipe for that is at our site, foodschmooze.org. And the video of it is on Facebook, as we just mentioned. Okay, don't forget, coming up in our next segment, we have Mike Urban and his new book about New England fish market owners and their recipes for how to cook fish. Believe me, they cook fish a lot, so you know they have time-tested these recipes.
Yummy.
So we're going to tempt you with all of those. Right now, you know what we need? We need a music mood bath.
Can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. But baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you. Song is meant to keep you doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend now. We could pretend it all the time, yeah. Can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. But baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you this. Song is meant to keep you from doing. doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend.
We all love pancakes, and we're all eating.
We're just, every weekend.
I think as a group, we're all eating less and less flour and wheat. Mm-hmm. So when something's gluten-free, we pay special attention. We've got a huge gluten-free audience. And we have an award-winning poet, Sylvia Forges Ryan, who lives in Hamden, Connecticut, one of the best home cooks I know, as I mentioned. Welcome to the Food Schmooze.
Thanks.
It's good
to be here.
Oh, my God. It's great to have you here. So, Sylvia, tell me about these banana pancakes that are gluten-free. Three ingredients.
Well, three ingredients, and they're ridiculously simple to make. They're not very high in calories. They're delicious, and you can vary them a little bit. And everybody I've given this recipe to just loves it. It's hardly even I'm almost embarrassed to call it a recipe. It's so simple.
No, those are my favorite recipes.
it truly is just three ingredients, and it's so fast to make, and I have them like every other morning these days. They're so good.
So intriguing.
It looks like a regular pancake, but it's more custardy, to get back to the creme brulee idea. Mm. It is very fluffy inside, but it looks just like a pancake.
And only three ingredients.
Thank you for giving us the recipe for our website. That's at foodschmooze.org.
The ingredients are simply this: a medium-sized banana. If it's ripe, that's great. If it isn't, it still works. No big deal. So a medium-ripe banana, 2 tablespoons of any kind of flour. Can be regular flour, it can be any nut flour, it can be gluten-free flour, you name it. 2 tablespoons. Uh-huh. Or these days I use a soup spoon because I have more of them handy. Nothing's crucial here. So a banana, 2 tablespoons of any kind of flour, and 1 large beaten egg.
And that's it?
That is it. You mix it together.
And magic happens.
It's truly a chemical miracle. And then you just heat a medium-sized skillet. Don't put anything in the skillet. Just get the skillet warm. No butter needed.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
And then you just spoon that batter into enough to make 3 pancakes, which
and
is one serving.
Did it make small pancakes? You know, like those?
Oh, what would you say they are? What
about 4 inches?
4-inch pancake.
So
yeah, if you take like a 10-inch nonstick skillet, it will put 3 in there. It'll just fit
Sylvia,
nicely.
Sylvia, have you ever tried to scale up this recipe, you know, double everything, triple everything?
I haven't, just because I always make them for myself. And so, I could eat more, but the other thing about it that's great is it's really filling.
Do you eat it with maple syrup and butter?
I do.
You do.
Good. And I do.
You could throw fruit in while they're cooking
in
the pan.
I do, but what I like to do is often I'll put just a handful of chopped nuts in, like walnuts.
Yeah.
So just a handful of chopped nuts in the batter and then fry them up.
The banana is really the structure of this,
it
right?
Is.
Yeah.
So you mash the banana up
you
with like a spoon
it.
Or a fork and then
Absolutely.
Mix those things and you're done.
The egg
you're
holds
done.
It together.
Yeah.
The egg holds
it's
it
genius.
Together.
Yeah.
It's genius.
It's so good. I can't tell you. And it's great this time of year, of course, with fresh berries or
blueberries.
Blueberries.
I've got to try
right
this.
Now, strawberries.
Sylvia's
There's
pancakes.
There's nothing to it.
And
I'm trying Sylvia's
it
pancakes.
It cooks in about 2 minutes, you know, two
Non-stick
minutes
pan.
On one side, on the first side, till it bubbles and
okay, so
that's it.
I want to say, can I say thank you to you? Because Sylvia is an award-winning haiku poet, not just awards in the United States, multiple awards, but in which I consider the Olympics in Japan. For instance, she has won the Grand Prix Poetry Prize from the Atomic Bomb Memorial Committee in Kyoto, Japan. The Blythe Award from the World Haiku Society, the Henderson Award from the Haiku Society of America. It goes on and on and on. And you have done this book, which I adored. It is called What Light There Is. And tell me about this. And would you read a couple of haikus?
Sure. So this is a collection of my short Japanese form poems. And I've divided the book into 6 sections all around the subject kind of light. And they cover just about everything you can imagine.
Would you do me a favor and read this short form one from the book?
Okay. Unsettled argument. She brings in the soup, neglecting to warn him. how hot it is.
Isn't that perfect, Marsha? Isn't that just a perfect scene? It's just really...
It takes you there.
It's,
right?
I think I've been there.
I was just going to say, it's cinematic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that is a quality about your poems, Sylvia, that I've noticed in the past, that they're cinematic. Try another one. Again, this is from the new book, What Light There Is, and we have it posted at our website. It is available from Red Moon Press.
Shall I read one more on food?
Yeah, sure.
Valentine's chocolates. The one who loves most finds such pleasure in insisting not to like the most delicious pieces.
I love it.
What is the key to doing these? There's such power in these short, you know, when we say somebody writes like a poet, we mean someone who has an exquisite sense of paring away. And you certainly do that, as the awards testify. But what's the key, Sylvia?
The key is getting rid of as many words as you possibly can while having some strong emotional memory that you want to express, I think.
Mm, I love it.
I went through this book and it just so, I just,
like
I went
potato
through
potato chips.
Exactly. Except they do get you to pause. And so I read it twice and I love them. They're just absolutely fantastic. What I love about this segment is that we had three ingredient pancakes and here we've got essence. Well, I think this whole thing is about essence, isn't it?
Yes, most definitely. Yeah.
How about shoot one more at us? Anyone you want.
Okay. Here's one that sort of suits our days right now. 10 times 10,000 terrible things in this world, and still, I don't want to leave it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sylvia Forgis Ryan, who is author of What Light There Is from Red Moon Press. You can go to them to find her book, and it is available in certain bookstores, but easier to go to Red Moon Press. And, of course, we have this posted at our website, foodschmooze.org, along with Sylvia's incredible pancakes, three ingredients, and gluten-free. Thank you so much for doing this.
It's been my pleasure.
Okay, coming up, we have the New England Seafood Market Cookbook. Lots of seafood recipes coming your way. We love the local. Please support your local food growers and food makers. And for on-demand podcast delivery of the Food Schmooze Party every week, and to find a terrific food, wine, cocktails, restaurants, hot topics, our short, fun streaming videos and recipes we feature, we're always online talking with you at foodschmooze.org. We'll be right back.
Everybody's got a pulse. I am human.
have one more mouthwatering bite of the Fuchsmoose coming up. Here's something great to know about. Sign up for the app called NPR One. Just download it from the iPhone App Store or your Android device. And once you do, you can set WNPR as your local station. Couldn't be easier. Download the free app NPR One and start listening. Let's party on. More Fuchsmoose. This is the Fuchsmoose Party. We have a free podcast for you, meaning you'll never miss a drop of pleasure. You just sign up for it once at our site, and we will automatically send you our show every week so you can listen on your schedule. This is how a lot of people do it now. Also, discover our delicious curated food, wine, event, cocktail recommendations. We love talking with you, all of us here, and so we want you to stop by often and say hi. We're always online at foodschmooze.org. I'm with my treasured food buddies, Chris Prosperi, chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, wine broker Alex Province, and Mark Raymond of Frederick Wildman & Sons Wine Distributors. And we have here Mike Urban, who is author of this book in paperback. It's called The New England Seafood Markets Cookbook. You figure that these folks who deal with seafood all the time and cook it so much really get their recipes pretty much down, wouldn't you say, Chris?
Oh, gotcha.
You have to come up with all kinds of ways. And so Mike had the good idea to go around and ask them for some of their best recipes in their our markets in all the New England states, including Connecticut. So we asked Chris if he would make us the recipe for mussels in wine sauce. Now, you don't have to write any of these down, but there are certain ones we're going to talk about that are at our website for you, including this, mussels in wine sauce, which is a recipe from City Fish Market in Wethersfield, Connecticut. Mike, we just tried this. This was delicious. We did regular noodles,
we did
gluten-free. Well, I bet you've had your share of these preparing the book. So mussels that you buy at the market or maybe get yourself, and some shallots and garlic and white wine and butter and chopped parsley and crisp salt and pepper and came together so easily.
They open up in seconds, too. I always forget when I cook mussels. Like, you put them in the pot, and basically you put the lid on them, and 2 seconds later, it seems, I mean, it's a little longer than that, and you open it up, and they're all opened, ready to eat. Mm. And I just eat them right out of the pot.
Oh, yeah.
I just start eating them. It is like popcorn almost. You can't just eat one. You have to keep going.
This is the kind of recipe, Mike, that I think where if you go a little heavy on one thing or another, a little light on the wine, heavy on the wine, whatever it is, more shallots than usual, you can throw this stuff into a pot and it's good.
I think, yes, you can wing it in situations like this. You can improvise somewhat and it's great. And what I like about this recipe in particular is that it's sort of a wine-based recipe. Mm. It doesn't call for any water for the steaming.
Nope. Right.
And as Chris pointed out, those little guys pop open quite quickly. And you reduce that sauce, that wine sauce, down a little bit and then pour it over the top. That, I think, is really just a nice
let's do another one, because in the same school, I think that all of us in this room love linguine and little neck clams.
Oh, one of my all-time favorites.
If it's on the menu, I'm
no
pretty much going to be ordering that. But this one is from City Fish Market in Wethersfield, Connecticut. Linguine with little neck clams and Genoa salami.
It's a great idea.
Chris, you made this for us just before the show.
It's so good.
We had, we didn't have any linguine, so we just used two.
Whatever I had.
And we did it both ways, noodles with wheat and gluten. Free.
Yeah, and they were good. Either one was good.
Both of them were delicious.
The salami is the key to this one, I think. right?
Oh, it just breaks. Yeah, it caught my eye when I got the recipe from City Fish House, and I thought, salami, what's this all about? Because it doesn't sound that New Englandy, but it gives it a real nice Mediterranean-type flavor. Most of the recipes I got from City Fish were very Mediterranean-based.
So this makes sense to me because we know from the Portuguese, right, Mark, that they'd be using pork and chorizo in their
chorizo in Spain for sure.
With clams. This is a common thing, and so this is a substitution for that, just using Genoa salami, kind of a quick thing. Chris, you just cut it up in little strips and threw it in.
You throw it in at the end with just a little bit of parsley, and it just finished the dish so perfectly. Yeah.
Brings some neat little spice in.
It added that
depth.
We're trying to give you ideas while you're listening and so that you can try some of these at home and just, you know, take a chance, try it. It's not hard to put on a pot of water for your pasta. You know how to do that. And then in a skillet, Chris, you heated the olive oil. Yep. You add a little bit of fresh garlic and cooked it for a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. And then what went
red pepper flakes. If you like it a little hot, but you don't have to, then your clams go in.
Little
some
Nick.
White wine, clam broth. That's the stuff you get in a little bottle in any supermarket. And then you put the lid on and let them steam. And they open up. They take a little bit longer than mussels, but again, so quick.
5 minutes.
Poof, they're all open. Mm. It's like magic.
And if they don't open, you throw them away.
Yeah, then you throw in your parsley and your salami and your cooked pasta. You mix it all together.
With the linguine in there, you just mix it up and off you go.
Yeah.
Oh, you could drink it.
It's so Chris, if you were going to add chorizo, would you fry it with the garlic
with the
first?
Yes, yes. And not only that, but I want to
Well, if it's the uncooked
the cured,
kind.
If it was a chorizo
or even the cured, I think it would give it a
add flavor
little toasty,
to it.
Well, and make the oil go
the
orange.
Good idea.
I want to add, too, I was at a Stop and Shop, and I'm walking around, and what's your favorite brand? Palacios. And I walk by and I have to take a double take. I'm in the deli section of a regular Stop and Shop, and there's the packages of chorizo sausage, the cured one from. Wow. And I was like, I bought two of them. They were like $9 a piece.
Do you think it's in lots of supermarkets now?
I don't know. Stop and Shop must be carrying it in some because, and boy, that would be good in this.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Oh my gosh.
And that's Palacios, Palacios. Yeah. So that recipe also online at foodschmooze.org. We're talking with Mike Urban, and his new cookbook is called The New England Seafood Markets Cookbook. And we have information posted about the book online if you want to find out more about it. Okay, halibut, one of my favorite fish. I just think so delicious.
Yummy.
Sometimes it's very expensive, and so you could try this recipe. You could substitute something else. Again, from City Fish Market in Wethersfield, Connecticut. Mike, this is a lemon pepper grilled halibut. So we're going to get a tip from Chris on how to grill without having things stick. And Mike, tell us about this.
Well, it's a lovely dish. I made it at home myself last summer. It's fantastic. Like I said, halibut is kind of pricey, but it is a nice, thick, fleshy piece of fish. And I recommend cooking it whole as opposed to in pieces. And you could divide it up after you've cooked the whole fillet. But the little lemon rinds that you rub into it, I think, make a big difference. And at the time that I cooked it, I left lemon rinds on the top when I cooked it. And
so
it just really baked in the flavor.
So fresh lemon juice, garlic clove, the fillet of halibut, olive oil, some lemon peel that you mince up, and salt and pepper. And this is easy because the garlic and the lemon juice go into a baking dish, and you let it sit there for a while, and then that garlic infuses the lemon juice. Mm. And then you put the halibut in there and turn it to coat it and stick it in there when you get home from work. And for about half an hour, and then out comes the grill. Chris, how do we keep it from sticking?
Oh
Give
gosh.
Us your tip.
I have the easiest way. I preheat my grill, and then I take a piece of tinfoil. I grab rip off a nice big long piece of tinfoil, and then I fold it over so it's a little thicker, right? And then I just cut slats in it, cut little long strips in it. And then I take that, I spray it with pan spray, or if you have a little squirt bottle with olive oil or whatever, get it on there. And then I put that on the grill, I close the lid and preheat that, and then all I do is take my fish and put it right on there, and it makes my grill a non-stick grill.
You're cooking on the tinfoil.
Cook it on the tinfoil, but if your grates are hot enough, you'll see the marks will come through, and the holes, if there's any juice or fat or oil that drips through, will smoke, and it's just like cooking right on the grill, except it makes your grill non-stick.
Yeah,
it's just
like a segment on the Food Schmooze website where you did that. I thought that's a fantastic
idea.
It's a great way, because it is a real struggle.
is a challenge to, you know, grill fish properly, you know, get it so it doesn't stick.
Yeah, until I watched Chris doing this video, my fish will stick sometimes. And I think I'm putting enough oil on the grill. And so that really was a terrific video. It's up there at foodschmooze.org.
Is there a cheaper time to buy halibut? Like, is it seasonal when you can get it, so it's time to eat it?
Summertime is when most of these fish are running and when they're pulling them in.
So, yeah, it's now. It actually starts early summer. So a few weeks ago, we saw the prices go down. And they'll stay down. I mean, it's not down a lot, so it doesn't go to really cheap. But it's a little cheaper now until midsummer, maybe even sometimes into the, you know, August sometimes, depending on the run.
There are differences. There are also Pacific halibut, Atlantic halibut. So, you know, we could just shop around.
And listen, if it seems too expensive or you're having a kind of a crowd, what could we substitute that would work?
I like flounder. Anything. I don't know why.
I love flounder.
I love flounder. And it's local. It's right. It's not overfished. It's always around. And it's
– I
get
spent
it
all weekend fishing for flounder.
Sure.
Didn't catch one.
Yeah.
I was going to bring it in for you.
Yeah.
But halibut is a rather big, fleshy fish.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I might recommend cod or haddock, something that's a little thicker and fleshier. It is difficult to grill. But if you use Chris's tried and true method, you know, you're not going to have a problem with that falling apart on you.
Mike, you went to a place called R&D Seafood. This is in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. And I know exactly where this is. And they have this recipe. So this is an idea for you. Listen to this combination of ingredients. It's how to take a piece of tuna, a steak, and infuse it with flavors. This is your tuna steaks with a hoisin ginger marinade.
Ooh.
Now, you can buy that marinade in a bottle. And so if you want, you could just put the fish fillet in a plastic bag and just pour it in there and let it sit for a while. Or you could do what these folks did right at the market. Let me say how this comes together. Sesame oil, soy sauce, sherry wine, hoisin sauce, salt and pepper, fresh garlic, fresh ginger, and the tuna steaks themselves.
Sure. I mean, you know, it's sort of a classic, you know, Asian-infused type of a marinade right there, you know, homemade. And like you say, you can do it. It's close to some of the things you might find in bottles that would approximate the same thing. But doesn't sound that complicated. Something you can mix up right at home, and it's all that much better.
Chris, when you're doing tuna, many people like to – Mark, I think you're one of these people who likes to have the tuna on the rarer side.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of in the medium category. So,
like
Chris, with a marinade, is it going to cook faster?
Yes, a little bit, yeah. So keep an eye on it if you like it on the rare side. It just needs a 30 seconds, 45 seconds for me on each side. But if you like a little more, a minute or two.
And you want
that little gray sear.
It's very easy to dry out tuna. Yeah. It's very easy. You got to be careful. You got to watch it very closely.
Yeah. And you want to throw that marinade away because it's had raw fish in it.
Right.
Okay. Since we're on the subject of seafood markets, with Mike Urban, his book, The New England Seafood Markets Cookbook, recipes posted, information about his book at foodschmooze.org. Alex, you've been hanging out at a place. I know you and Matt sail around in your boat all the time, and you've been eating a lot. Where?
So at Ford's Lobster in Noank, Connecticut, and we met Chris, who owns it. He has a fuel dock, and we'd fuel up our sailboat there. And then he started a little restaurant, and you actually eat on the docks. So they have a kitchen that moves outside.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we used to buy our lobsters there as well because he has the tanks. So he does like a lobster risotto that's just dripping with lobster. I mean,
I want to go.
He does a lobster pasta that's dripping lobster and lobster rolls. And it's just, he's so abundant with lobster because he's a lobster fisherman. And it's BYOB, so we get to go. We bring a nice bottle of white wine. And people actually bring in cocktail mixers and, you know, make martinis.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
You have to go early.
I was going
to
say, no reservations,
right? No reservations. So people, there's, you know, are lining up to get in. It's like going back in time. You're back, you know, everything just has that Yankee sort of old school feel to it. If you're lucky, you see Chris running by. And they used to actually have boats coming up to fuel while you're having dinner, you know, and somebody's running from the staff to go fill up this sailboat.
Hold on, I'll be right back. I got to go. Yes.
Well, for those of you who are familiar with Abbott's Lobster in the Rough, this is just up the road from there,
cool.
About maybe a quarter of a mile or so, and it's becoming a hot alternative to Abbott's, which is more a dine in the rough kind of place, just straight up lobster and lobster rolls and things like that. But I've Ford's, I'm hearing great things about it.
They do a pretty good cheeseburger, too.
Well, you have to.
Non-lobster option.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Hey, since we're doing restaurants, Mark Raymond, you told me about a place because I love empanadas.
Yeah.
This is a dough that is wrapped around a stuffing of some kind. It could be chicken and chorizo and whatever. And your place that you found where the woman really does the real thing?
Yeah. She's from Argentina, and it's called My Argentine Cuisine. And it's actually right on Main Street in Middletown, Connecticut.
Cool.
And it's a small little place, but she does all the Argentine pastries as well. Oh, my goodness. You go there for these empanadas, and she makes them. She's got them made ahead of time. She'll have corn. She'll have beef. She'll have chicken. Sometimes she'll have a combination.
You mean the dough is made ahead of time?
No, everything.
Everything.
She's pre-made, you know, a certain amount, and then she keeps them in the refrigerator. So she bakes them to order for you.
Oh.
So you walk in, you say, oh, I'll have six of these or two of these. So you can get them for lunch, or you can get a bigger order to take home for a little gathering that you might have. And, oh, they are just off the hook. They're delicious. My Argentine Cuisine.
Cuisine on
Middletown Main Street.
Does she have Malbec?
Does not have a liquor license
yet.
I think she's getting – she makes matambre too, which for those people who don't know, that's like a stuffed – it's like a flank steak that they slice really, really thin, and they put vegetables and herbs, and they roll it up, and then they grill it, and then they slice it almost like a cold cut. It's absolutely outstanding. She's got so much there. You have
matambre.
To go check it out. Matambre.
Matambre.
Like the way you say that.
Great. Thank you, everyone. We're on WNPR Thursdays at 3, Saturdays at noon, weekdays. Listen for my 60-second food schmoozes. Join the conversation with us. We're always up for a good time online at foodschmooze.org. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton. This is the place to enjoy the richness of life. Sharing our local and national discoveries with you makes me want to get up in the morning. The gang and I hope you'll come back soon and often.